candidate for a second time, a state senator hoping for a trip to Washington, and a retired fighter pilot with a new purpose in life. Tonight, these three candidates field questions from Matt Jones in a live presentation from Hay, Kentucky. This is the 6th District Congressional Debate for the Democratic primary. Here is your host, Mary Jo Perino.
Good evening and welcome to the beautiful Carrick Theater on the campus of Transylvania University in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm Mary Jo Perino. Over the course of the next hour, you're going to be hearing from three candidates vying for the Democratic nomination for Kentucky's 6th Congressional District. Let's meet them. Kentucky businessman and Lexington mayor, Jim Gray. Retired Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Amy McGrath. And State Representative Reggie Thomas. And now let's send it over to our moderator for the evening, the host of Hey Kentucky, Matt Jones.
Thank you very much, Mary Jo. You don't have to clap. Hold your applause. We appreciate all three candidates for joining us. This is the first time we have ever done a Hey Kentucky debate, and we really thank everybody for doing it, and we hope to have more of these in the future. Now, the format is going to be this. During the first half of this debate, each candidate will have we will have 1 minute to answer each question, and all of you will answer the same question, and let's get started. We did a blind draw to begin, and Amy McGrath, Ms. McGrath, you will go first. If you are elected, or when you decided to run for office, what were the one or two issues that were most important to you in that decision and will be the most important to you to accomplish if elected?
Well, one, it was we need better leaders in our country. And so that, as an issue, I think is very, very important. But in terms of regular issues, I think health care. I mean, look, the Affordable Care Act was never perfect, but it was something that greatly benefited Kentucky. And we had leaders and our members of Congress here who want to throw it away, want to undermine it. And I felt like, wow, we need to make a stand on that. We need to get people in office who actually want to help people, who don't lie to them, who want to go in for the right reasons, and actually try to fix a major piece of legislation which wasn't perfect but did a lot of good. And so I think that is the number one issue.
Mr. Thomas?
Thank you, Matt. And first of all, let me thank you and Mary Jo Perino and Transylvania University for hosting this. I decided to run because, like a lot of you, I woke up on the day after the election, you know, very sad and disturbed. And as I looked at this congressional district, we have a congressman now who caters to the special interests, who puts people in Washington and New York ahead of us. And we need a change. And I said it's time to do something. I like the comment by Gandhi that if you want to see change, you must be that change you want to see. And so I want to go to Washington and do three things. I want to implement a Medicare for All system, single-payer system. I want to increase our minimum wage gradually to $15 an hour because hard work deserves to be rewarded. And I want to create a new infrastructure, and not just roads and bridges, but a 21st century electric grid and high-speed internet for everyone.
Mr. Gray.
Matt, first, thanks for hosting us tonight. And all of us will probably agree, Reggie and Amy and I, that regardless of how we perform tonight, you're the star, and we just got to accept that. All right. Now, in terms of why I'm running, there is a just hyper-partisanship in Washington today. And big money is controlling everything. And we've got to get rid of that. We've got to deal with these issues. Yes, there are issues. There are prevailing issues, tough issues, turbulent issues, like health care that's skyrocketing costs, education skyrocketing costs. We've got income inequality that's on the rise and economic mobility that's on the decline. It's harder for people to get ahead today. We've got to tackle these issues. We tackle those issues the same way we have right here in Lexington. That's by bringing people together with common purpose. As Reggie often says, common sense solutions, but yes, common purpose as well.
Time. All right, next question. All of you in some form mentioned health care during that answer, and I want to lead off with you, Mr. Thomas. In terms of health care, for each of you, Are you in favor of a single-payer system? If so, why? And if not, are you in favor of keeping Obamacare or the ACA? And if you would make changes, please be specific as to what the changes you would make are, rather than just saying you would make some changes. I'll start with you, Mr. Thomas.
Matt, when I announced on July 1 I was running for this office, I made my number one priority bringing to America a single-payer healthcare system. People say, how can you do that? Isn't that so radical? I think we have to recognize that in America now, we have a single-payer healthcare system. In fact, we have two. The Children's Health Insurance Program is a single-payer healthcare system. Medicare, for those 65 and over, our single-payer healthcare system. It works here in America now. And what I want to do, I want to extend that to everyone. And I can do it and make healthcare affordable and accessible to everyone. I can do it far more cheaply than what's being done now. Look, we have to recognize that if we don't do something soon, we're going to bankrupt America. Healthcare now is 18% of GDP. 20 years ago, it was 5%. It's going to be 25% of GDP in a matter of 7 years. I'm going to bring a single-payer healthcare system to this country so that everybody can have access and be able to afford a doctor.
Mr. Gray.
For the last six years, Andy Barr has worked to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. It is time for us to focus on repealing and replacing Andy Barr. Now, let me tell you that, yes, there are very specific actions that can be taken, but it's all within a framework of continuous improvement. We don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We need to improve the Affordable Care Act. We need to extend the medical devices tax, that the revision to the repeal of the medical devices tax. It's only been taken for 2 years. We need to move it on permanently. We need to give a tax credit to the middle class when they can't afford these rising premiums on health care. They can't afford it. We need to give relief to the middle class. That's across the board, but especially as it relates to health care today.
Mrs. McGrath.
Yeah. This is such an important issue. I am a practical person. And while I believe that the single payer is a good system for many countries, here in America, I think we need to be practical. We have a very complex system. We have a major piece of legislation in the Affordable Care Act, and we ought to try to fix it. Not with Band-Aid solutions, though, with real solutions. So public option, you know, give people a choice. You want a government plan? You could take it. You could take an Uncle Sam plan. You know, that's what a public option is. Today, under the Affordable Care Act, you have a choice of private plans. I propose that you have a public plan. That would give people choice. If you're afraid of the government, pick the private plan. Senator Murphy just came out today with an idea of buying into Medicare. I believe we ought to have a Medicare buy-in plan, especially for those who are 55 and older. Buy into a system that everybody likes early. Everybody deserves coverage, and that's how we need to get there.
Time. Okay, this race has actually garnered a lot of attention nationally, in large part because it represents some of the divides that we've seen throughout the country in the Democratic Party. So I want to ask you this. In 2016, we'll start with you, Mr. Gray. In the primary, did you vote for Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders? And if so, do you regret the decision?
Matt, I believe you've asked me that question about 15 times.
And I'm ready for you to answer.
And I've answered it every time. I voted for the Democratic nominee. I voted for Clinton. And, you know, there was a lot that happened, of course, in 2016. And among other things, I was in a race in 2016. Now, we didn't prevail across the state, but we outperformed the Democratic presidential team by almost 10 points. And we actually won in the 6th district. And that represents a significant achievement in winning the 6th district because I won over a Republican incumbent. So as we go forward, of course, Democrats need to be united. And of course, they need to do what they've always done, and that is focus on solutions. If you look at the history of the Democratic Party, going back decades and even a century or longer, it's been about bringing solutions, bringing people together to bring solutions and progress to our country.
So the second part of that question, would you make the same vote again?
Would I make the same vote again? If I had the choice to make the same vote again with the consideration of the candidates that we've got today, I would make the same choice again.
Okay. Mrs. McGrath.
Well, I voted for Hillary Clinton. I thought she was the most qualified to do that position. But I think we have to learn the lessons of 2016, and this goes to your second question. I'm not sure I would have voted in that direction again, although I probably would have. Honestly, I hadn't really even thought about that, to be honest with you. But I do think we need to learn the lessons of 2016. And whether you like that the idea of Hillary Clinton as a candidate, the fact is that many people, in, especially in the rural areas, did not feel that she showed up. And we need to have candidates, especially, that can connect in the rural areas as Democrats. That is the big divide in this country. It's urban-rural. And as a Democratic Party, we have to get back to the working class. We have to get the Midwest back, and we have to get the South back. And that means candidates that go out and speak to the rural areas.
Mr. Thomas.
Matt, I voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016. If I had to do it all over again, given those candidates, I would vote for Hillary Clinton again. What I'm saddened about is that I don't think she ran a very effective race. And again, what we saw in that race is that we lost the heartland of America. We just did not reach middle America. And as a party, we've got to do a better job, Matt, talking about the issues that are important to them. You know, talking about their families and jobs. You know, talking about education. Talking about those core issues that are important to them. Not being afraid, Matt, to talk about faith. You know, I think that the Democratic Party has lost its way. So this is really, at the end of the day, this is not about who we voted for in 2016, but what lessons can we learn from that? Because if we don't learn those lessons, Matt, then we're going to lose again in 2018 and 2020. We've got to capture that American heartland.
All right, next question. Speaking of issues that are important to people, let's talk about the economy. And I'll start with you, Ms. McGrath. The economy has grown at a great rate over the last 7 to 8 years, but it has also left behind, I think, a lot of folks. So I have two questions. Number one, would you be supportive of raising the minimum wage to $15? And second, what are some policies that you would have that would be specific to help the economy for working class people and not just the economy as a whole?
Right. Well, to answer your first question, yes, I would be for that over a gradual period of time. I think that's important. And to your second question, you know, how do we change and help the economy? What can a member of Congress do? Well, a member of Congress can advocate for things like federal investment in research and development to create new technologies. This is the problem. We're out of balance right now. We have folks in power who basically think that the federal government should do nothing, that everything should come from the private sector. And folks, that hasn't been historically how we prospered as a country. You know, the federal government has done things like research and development to spur things like the iPhone, the internet, GPS. All of that stuff helps create jobs. And we need to get back to that. So that's why I came out with a 32-page economic plan that many of you probably received in the mail in the last week, and it's on my website.
Time.
Check it out.
Mr. Thomas.
Matt, just like on health care, you know, I've been the Democratic candidate who has led on this issue of minimum wage. And again, from day one, I've advocated that I'm going to go to Congress and pass a minimum wage bill that over time raises the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And Matt, let me dispel one notion about the minimum wage. People think that when you talk about raising the minimum wage, you're talking about giving teenagers additional money to just walk around or drive around and go crazy. I'm going to tell the folks, 60%, 3 out of 5 of all minimum wage earners are women, working women. So what does that tell you? That tells you that when you increase the minimum wage, you help women, you help mothers, you help families. So, yes, I'm an advocate for raising the minimum wage because, it's time that hard work deserves to be rewarded.
Mr. Gray.
I've actually done it. I signed a bill to raise the minimum wage here in Lexington. Regrettably, the Supreme Court of the state decided that that wasn't appropriate and wouldn't let us do it. We, nevertheless, in Lexington, in my last budget just 2 weeks ago, we raised the minimum wage for everyone working for City Hall, for city government in Lexington today. So we've actually done that. Now, let's talk about jobs. Jobs give purpose and meaning in life. Now, I've been fortunate in my life to have lived the American dream. My family, we struggled early on after my father passed away. We were on the edge of bankruptcy, but we recovered and we thrived. And over time, we built a business that has created over time thousands of jobs, and we recruited businesses here to the 6th District, building thousands of jobs. Now, that's what's important at the end of the day, because in dealing with so many of the challenges that we've got in our country today, having people meaningfully employed, giving purpose and meaning in life, that's a very big deal, and we ought to all work on it every single day.
Thank you. All right. This district includes some areas that were once considered coal country, and even though coal may not have the future that it has had in the past, nevertheless, it is still an important part of our state. So I have this question for all three of you. President Obama put in a number of regulations that did have a negative impact on the coal industry, and now President Trump has taken away a lot of those regulations to mixed success. My question for you is this. Do you agree with President Obama's regulations he put on coal and on the environment, or did you agree with President Trump's decision to get rid of those regulations? I'll start with you, Mr. Thomas.
Matt, I think with regard to regulations, you got to look at them individually. Look, when I get to Congress, I'm going to protect the coal jobs we have. I'm going to make sure that those miners that are employed, I'm going to do everything possible to keep them employed. But I also think, Matt, we've got to look at where we are today. And for those coal miners out of work, Matt, we got to look at doing things to put them back to work. Increasing the infrastructure there in Eastern Kentucky, putting more money into education and job skills training. But we've got to do those things, Matt, because we got to look at what lies ahead for the people in Eastern Kentucky, not what lies behind. You want to say
something?
Were
there specific Obama regulations? You said you have to look at them individually. Were there specific ones you disagreed with?
Well, Matt, I don't know if there's anything I would disagree with. But again, what I don't want to do is what Trump has done in places like Martin County, Kentucky. We hear about Flint, Michigan, where the people there in Martin County are under a water advisory alert and can't drink water and can't bathe in water because of its filth.
Mr. Gray.
Well, when it comes to regulations, I think Mark Twain had it best when he said that too much of a good thing is a bad thing, except in the case of Kentucky bourbon, in which case too much is just enough. So, yes, too much regulation can be a very, very challenging. And regrettably, the rug was pulled out from under Eastern Kentucky in the coal fields. Not many industries across our country over history have had as tough a time dealing with it over such a short period of time. Now, we need to focus on renewable energy. Climate change is real, and I will say to you that Scott Pruitt is a real problem. When we have the opportunity to shift over time, we've seen this with fossil fuels, we've seen it over time and over centuries, that a migration away is something that we really can't avoid. And so finding new and innovative tools and ways to improve is what we ought to be focused on.
So does that mean you supported Trump taking away some of those regulations?
No, I mean, when on balance, we need to examine those regulations. I'm not going to say specifically which ones, Matt, but when on balance, we need to examine them. That's the proper and appropriate thing to do.
Ms. McGrath.
Yeah, coal has been used as a political football for years. And the fact of the matter is, it's not regulations that are responsible for the decline of coal. It's automation. It's fracking. It's market forces. Even the coal industry knows this. We need to have leaders that get beyond this and using this on both sides as some political football. We need to have people that look to the future. I'm a planner. I was a military officer. In the military, we plan for everything. We may not want to go to war, but we have a plan for it. You have to plan for the day after if coal declines. And that's why we have to diversify. Renewable energy is the future. We have to have leaders that don't give the future the Heisman and look the other way. And that's what I want to do. With regards to regulations, I honestly think Donald Trump getting rid of them doesn't really matter.
Okay, time. But I do want to get a follow-up. Did you support the regulations that President Obama instituted over the course of his time?
I thought many of them were fine, and some of them weren't. I mean, there's a lot of them, just like Reggie said.
Okay. All right. Now, we are happy to be here at Transylvania, and as part of that, a reporter for the Transylvania newspaper, The Rambler, is here. This is Tristan Reynolds, and he has a question for the group.
Thank you. The total student debt in America recently passed $1 trillion. Student debt has been linked to an increased difficulty in receiving small business loans, to decreased rates of home ownership, and decreased levels of socioeconomic mobility. My question is, if elected as representative, would you support legislation to permit the discharging of student debt in bankruptcy proceedings? And would you support legislation to ensure that future students could attend public universities at free or no cost?
Mr. Gregg.
Well, let's start by first saying that in terms of education and what it means to our country, to our young people, to our country, we cannot shrink ourselves to greatness. We cannot continue to erode the foundation of education and continue to take away funding from education at every level. In terms of student loans, at minimum, what we can do is allow students, kids, after they've graduated, to refinance those student loans. That is a minimum. To be able to do what we've done, what we're all able to do when we're refinancing a house, a home loan, for example. And that, at minimum, is what we should do.
Would you be for, as he asked, free college education as a guarantee?
You know, I think what Tennessee has done to examine it in an informed way is what we ought to do. A yes or no answer to that is not really appropriate, but the way that Tennessee's taking it on with technical schools and trying it, testing it, we ought to always be able, and continuous improvement is always about examining an opportunity.
Ms. McGrath.
Well, yes. I mean, I think that we should allow students the same rights in terms of bankruptcy that we allow, you know, corporations and businesses. They're trying to get ahead. They're students. And the fact is, we need educated population for business, for our country. The fact that this gap is getting bigger and bigger in terms of inequality, and the fact that college education keeps costing more and more is a real problem. I'm very concerned about the fact that, you know, we have a political party that wants to take away money for education, particularly higher education in this country, with Pell Grants, for example. The state of Kentucky, I mean, Eastern Kentucky University just had to cancel courses recently. This is a real problem. Your second question with regards to
free education.
I'm somebody that served, and I'm very proud of the fact that I had was able to serve and pay for my education that way. I think we ought to have a plan in this country where you can serve your country, not necessarily in the military, but be able to pay back. And I would be a proponent for that.
Mr. Thomas.
Tristan, I like your question. And for those listening, they should know that you were referring to a bill filed by Congressman Joe Delaney from Maryland. And yes, once elected to Congress, I would go to Washington and support that bill. But I want you to know, Tristan, I would go one step further. I've been on the campaign trail for months saying that when I get to Washington, I'm going to file a bill that adds a surtax of just 0.25%, 0.25%, to all these complex arbitrage transactions in America that would yield billions of dollars. And I want to use all that money to reduce the student debt. What people don't realize is that here in Kentucky now, the average college graduate finishes with over $28,000 in student debt, and it takes them 15 years and 3 months to pay that off, which means they have to postpone important things like getting married, like buying a house, like starting a life. And so, yes, we need to do something to deal with student debt, and I'm going to do it. And Matt, if the time, I'd like to answer the second part of your question.
Quickly.
Okay, quickly. The reason I voted against this budget was because, as I sit on the Senate floor, Kentucky remains the only state in the country that has not increased appropriations for public universities over the last 12 years.
We got to go. Yes or no on the compulsory free education?
I supported the Ready to Work scholarship program in Kentucky 2 years ago, and I still want to support it. But let me finish this point, Matt. Okay, I don't like the way the bill goes, because the way the bill goes now, it only limits it to programs in engineering and math. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be a school teacher, Matt. There's okay. Nothing wrong with wanting
to... I got to go to the next question. I'm sorry. Now, this comes from Twitter. We opened it up to our viewers to write in, and here was a question from Stephanie. She said, "We have seen an alarming rate of school shootings this year alone, not to mention the violence in Marshall County. Where are you on the gun debate? Do you take money from the NRA, and what commitments can you make and laws would you do to help keep schools safe?" I'll start with you, Mrs. McGrath.
Well, I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe that you should have the right to bear arms. I was a Marine. I have shot just about everything you can possibly imagine in terms of weapons. That said, I'm also a mother. I am very concerned about gun violence. I am very concerned about this issue of school shootings. I believe you have to have somebody with credibility that can be able to look at both sides of this issue and say, we got to do something. There are some things that we should have done yesterday, banning bump stocks, you know, universal background checks. The vast majority of gun owners and the vast majority of Americans want to close these loopholes. If you can't fly on an airline because you're on a terrorist no-fly list, maybe you shouldn't be able to go to Bud's and buy an AR-15. These are some basic things that I think that we ought to need. Everything ought to be on the table, okay? And I would be somebody that wants to do the right thing in this area.
Will you take money from the NRA?
Oh, absolutely not.
And would you ban assault weapons?
At this time, no, but I think everything should be on the table. We have a lot of assault weapons out there. And you know what? I'm just not about going out and taking people's weapons away. Let's do the things that we can do that we all agree on first.
Mr. Thomas.
Matt, first of all, I've not taken a dime for the NRA, and I will never take one red cent from the NRA. You know, as for the issue of gun access, again, Matt, let me say, I've led on this issue. I've talked about having some common sense gun safety legislation. I've talked about implementing universal background checks of 3 days. Right now, you can purchase a gun in 30 minutes. That's way too fast. Now, I've talked about, Matt, you know, a buyback program for military-style weapons. Why should military-style weapons be in the public domain? Now, I've talked about, Matt, eliminating those items like bump stocks that alter semi-automatic weapons to automatic weapons. You know, Matt, there are no two sides to this issue. When we see kids getting shot and killed in Marshall County, when we see people getting murdered in churches, when we see people going to concerts in Las Vegas and getting killed, we have to do something. There's only one side to that issue, Matt, making life safer for all of
us. Ban on AK-47
style. I just said that, Matt.
Yes.
I just said that, Matt. I said I want to implement a government buyback program so people don't lose money,
right. But
let's get those military-style weapons out of the public domain.
All right, Mr. Gray.
Well, let me say that this is personal to me. As mayor, I have been to the funerals of victims. I have been with grieving families like Tamara Coleman, who's here tonight, who lost her daughter, Mariah, and an unborn child to gun violence. We must focus this effort. We must deal with this crisis as a crisis that it is. And we must focus on what's achievable. The Murphy-Cornyn legislation is what we can get our arms around today, and that is universal background checks. Now, what are we dealing with today in this country? More than 3 million guns a year are sold at gun shows or over the internet without background checks. And that means that schools are less safe and places of worship less safe. Now, I'm not there because we must deal with what is achievable first.
So no on the assault weapon.
And that is universal background.
Money from NRA?
No money from NRA.
All right. Okay, it is time for us to take a break. When we come back, we will go more intensive with each candidate, and each candidate will be able to ask the other candidates a question. But first, we'll send it back to Mary Jo Perino.
That's right. We're going one-on-one, Matt and each of the candidates. Plus, they get to ask each other a question, as Matt said. We'll have more on that as live coverage of Hey Kentucky's 6th District Congressional Debate continues. Stay with us.
Turn your old records into great radio. WKY is hosting a vintage vinyl sale this month, and the records you donate will be sold to raise funds for Morning Edition, Rockin' Roots, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and much more. So clean out your basement, your closets, and the garage. Take those LPs, 45s, and CDs, and audio equipment to Lexington Habitat for Humanity's Restore on Southland Drive. All donations are tax deductible. Thank you from WKY.
Superorganism are an 8-piece collective with samples, dancers, and an 18-year-old lead singer who collaborated across continents to help write the group's self-titled debut. Where do they live? In a shared house in London. They'll tell Kaleo all about it and perform live on the Next World Cafe.
Tonight at 8 on 91.3 WUKY.
7:30 at 91.3 WUKY. Looking at rain in your forecast tonight with a low of 37, cloudy tomorrow with a high of 53. It's 72. You're listening to the 6th Congressional District Debate from the campus of Transylvania University. More of it just ahead on 91.3 WUKY.
Live coverage of Hay, Kentucky's 6th District Congressional Debate for the Democratic primary. Here's your moderator, Matt Jones.
Welcome back to the Hay, Kentucky Debate. Now, in this second half, we're going to do things just a little bit differently. We're actually going to go one-on-one with each candidate to give a chance to give some follow-up and to actually push them on some of the answers as they give them. Now, this is the reverse order of what we did in the first time. So Mr. Gray will go first, and I want to start with this. You don't have to have seen the news or heard or talked to anyone recently to know how big a deal the education debate has been here in Kentucky in the last couple of weeks. Most of that's on the state level, but on the federal level, charter schools are something that can be affected on the federal level. President Obama actually pioneered a program for charter schools. Lots of teachers are against them. If you were there, would you vote for legislation to continue and add charter schools more money throughout the nation?
You know, that's a question that's been examined. I would agree with the teachers. I would agree that public education, I'm a product of public education, just like I imagine so many of us in this room are. And I believe when you don't focus on public education, then you're going to diminish it. And it, at the end of the day, it really comes down to that. Now, as mayor, according to the legislation in Kentucky, I would have an opportunity, an authority to issue for charter schools.
And you said you would consider it.
But I said I would consider it. I did say I would consider it. But I would say on balance, Matt, frankly, that it's not a good thing, because when we start down the slippery slope of compromising public education, then we're going to follow that, and it's not to our credit.
So has something changed? Because when about a year and a half ago, when the legislation was first proposed, you came out and said, Mayor Fisher in Louisville said he was for it, and you said you would actively consider it.
I would actively consider
what
it. But
changed?
I said always on balance that I think we need to focus on public education. That's
all
very
right.
Simple.
Let's talk about another issue.
Okay.
I
hope you're going to get to opioids.
Well, I guess you now make me. But let me do something first. There are a lot of folks that see this election as a change election, that across the country people are upset about what has happened throughout the nation and about President Trump, et cetera. You are someone who has been in office for a while, not federal office, but locally. Do you believe in a change election, that you are someone that can beat Andy Barr in an election where people want change?
Well, absolutely. I beat an incumbent Republican in 2016 in this district by 4 points when the presidential ticket was lost by almost 14 points. So that's clear illustration. And I think people, frankly, at the end of the day, people, we need to give voters more credit than they deserve. They think about these decisions, and they look at experience. They look at results, and they look at performance. We've got hyper-partisanship today in Washington. In Lexington, we don't go around. On our city council, nobody wears an R or a D on their forehead. It's Lexington. And that's what we need to take. That kind of spirit is what needs to be represented in our entire district, from Stanton and Campton to Frenchburg, all the way through the district.
throughout, as I was walking around Transylvania University to get ready for this today, and I asked some students, what would you ask these folks? And they all unbelievably said the same thing. And it's something I hear all the time when I talk to people around the state. And it's about the legalization of marijuana. A lot of folks are in prison because of it, but also it is a policing issue, et cetera. Would you vote for legislation on the federal level to legalize marijuana for medicinal uses or recreational or both?
For medicinal uses. I mean, and I'm glad because that leads us right into this opioid crisis that we've got today. And sitting right behind you is Rex Chapman. And I want to acknowledge Rex for the courage that he has had. A little over a year ago, an article in Sports Illustrated where he talked about openly the courage and the guts that it took for him to do that, about the addiction that he's experienced. And also in the room tonight is Tanya Meeks, whose son Seth passed away of an overdose. Both of these individuals illustrate the challenge that we've got in our country today. It's very much like a wildfire in communities across our country. And yes, we are dealing with it here in Lexington. We've dealt with it with a Narcan and naloxone, with a heroin task force early on, but we need federal guidance, and we need this to be treated like the crisis it is.
All right. Thank you very much. Now I'll go to you, Mr. Thomas. On virtually every issue, you have taken a position that's a little bit more to the left of your fellow candidates, and I always get the question about you. Is Reggie Thomas electable in a general election? Do you believe the 6th District is ready for someone who says single payer, $15 minimum wage, et cetera?
Matt, I got elected in Lexington back in 2013 in the special election. Ran again in 2016, Matt, unopposed. I think I've answered the question as to whether I'm electable. Matt, when I go out to these counties, I'm very well received. And Matt, I want to point out something. That when I go out to these counties like Powell County, like Wolf County, like Anderson County, like Harrison County, Matt, I was there before I was Senator Reggie. I've been talking to those people and working together with those individuals for years before I became elected. They know me. They know what kind of person I am. And so, yes, I'm very electable in this race, and I believe I will beat Andy Barr.
Do you, the Democratic Party took a loss to a reality TV star in the presidential race and huge losses across Kentucky. Do you have a critique of the Democratic Party? What should the Democratic Party be doing as an entity differently to ensure that 2016 does not happen again?
Man, I think I've talked about that already, but let me reiterate what I've said before. Just as the National Democratic Party has become a East Coast and West Coast party, our own state Democratic Party has become an urban party. Lexington, Louisville, and no place else. We not only in America lost the heartland of the nation, we've lost in this state the heartland of Kentucky. And we've got to recapture that.
How would you do that?
Matt, the way I've been doing it all along, by going out and talking to people, talking about doing things that's going to put food on the table, talking about things that are going to put roof on their head, making sure that they, if they get sick, they can get quality health care at an affordable rate. Making sure, Matt, that when they go out to work, they can earn a wage that's livable and allow them to take care of their children and their homes and provide a brighter life to their families.
I feel like every person, even the worst of folks, does something right. So I've talked to you many times, and you've had many critiques of President Trump. But is there anything President Trump has done since he's been president that you have actually agreed with?
Now, Matt,
that's twice.
That is a tough question. you know, Matt, I struggle with that. But you know what? I will say this. The one thing I think he's done, and this crowd is here is evidence tonight, he has really energized the Democratic Party.
Now that's a cop out of that. I mean, I love you, but that's a cop out of that.
I mean, you look at the people, I mentioned going back and waking up that November 9th after the election. I mean, he has brought Democratic Party people out in droves. Just look at what happened in Alabama. We won a Senate seat in Alabama.
Do you give him any credit for the rise in the economy in the last 15 months?
Well, Matt, again, we've got to be honest. The first year of his election, you got to give President Obama all that credit. I mean, in terms of what we saw in the Boston College, no, seriously, President Obama laid the groundwork for that improvement and those changes that we benefited from. You know, second year, we'll see what Trump has done. What we do know is the last job reports, 100,000 jobs he just added in March. I mean, he's doing a woeful job, Matt, in terms of adding jobs to this country.
All right, thank you very much. Go to Mrs. McGrath. One of the debates that's occurred across the country is, what is the role of America in the world? And with your experience, I'd be interested, do you see America's role as, say, President Bush did, or in Obama some, as sort of a leader in getting democracy spread across the nation? Or do you agree with Trump and some on the left who believe America should be more of a isolationist nation and worry about itself first? You, with your military experience, what do you think is the correct path?
Well, those are two choices that neither one of them, okay? We can't afford to be isolationist. We are living in a changing world. We are in a global world. We have massive changes happening just to our globe in terms of climate. We're going to have to tackle these problems as a world community, and I believe the United States should be a leader in that. We have been a leader historically, and we need to continue to do that. So I'm very concerned about Donald Trump pulling away from actual world leadership, and I'm talking about world leadership that puts American values at the forefront. You know, the value of human rights, the value of democracies. While I don't believe we should be going into other countries and forcing democracy, I do believe we need to be a beacon, and we need to stand on our principles, and that's one of the reasons I'm running.
Did you agree with his recent decision to bomb in Syria due to some of the chemical warfare against their own citizens?
You know, I think that was a tough decision. I think a kinetic response is one way to respond, but it's not enough. Syria is a tough problem, and anybody that sits up here and says, well, I've got the answer for Syria, has no idea what they're talking about. It was a problem for the last administration. It's a problem for the current one. The concern that I have with this administration is he has no strategy other than lobbing a bunch of tomahawks at an old chemical weapons facility. Folks, chemical weapons, they're not that hard to build. Okay, so you can lob a bunch of weapons at them and destroy a facility, and they're still going to build more. So it's a tough problem. How do we fix it? Diplomacy, allies, and actually having a strategy that is more than kinetic.
When you announced your decision to run, you said that Mayor Gray represented I think your quote was, the old Democratic Party. Do you still believe that, and what specifically did you mean?
I think we need a new generation of leaders in this country. I think that part of the divisive problem is we have too many people who grew up within a political party, and that is not what America needs right now. I believe that we need people who put the country first, who have served the country. When I was in the Marine Corps, I didn't look to the Marine to my left or to my right and say, are you a Republican or a Democrat? We worked on a mission together, and I think we need leaders that do that. So, yes, I do believe deeply we need a new generation.
Okay. The question I get asked the most about you is, people say, this is someone who just moved to Kentucky and was from there originally, but just moved to the district and then decided almost immediately to run for office. And why would you do that? Why not get to know the district? What's your response to that?
Well, I have served Kentuckians my whole life. I left home at 18. I have lived my entire adult life moving around in service to this country. And, you know, I would have liked to have been here, living here in this district, and gone to all the UK basketball games in the last 20 years, but I was off serving my country. I've lived a year of my life in a tent somewhere in the Middle East. And you know what? I think right now we need people that understand international relations. We need people that have federal experience, and that's the kind of experience that I bring. And think about the fact that Kentucky was always my home. This is where my family is. When you're in the military, you move around every 2 to 3 years. Every holiday, I was here. That's what service to country is about.
Thank you very much. Okay, for this part, we're going to get a chance for you all to ask each other questions. We will have a 2-minute back and forth where you are allowed to ask an individual a question. They can respond, and then you can rebut if you desire. Mr. Thomas, you get the first question, and who will it go towards?
Matt, I want to ask Colonel McGrath a question. And I really want to follow up on your last point, because what you heard, it's the same thing that I hear when I go out on the campaign trail, when I go to the different counties in this district. I hear, Amy, that people's concerns are about you being a carpetbagger. That's the term that they use, that you have moved in here solely to run. Okay? And they express some dismay to that. So I'm going to give you an opportunity in front of a television audience to dispel that notion once and for all. My question to you is this. You moved here in June, as Matt has said, and really from the time you moved here, you've been running for office. So you've been here now almost a year, and you have positioned yourself as being a non-Lexingtonian running for office, that you represent the people outside of Lexington. Okay. So I want to list three well-known communities in this district that you've had time to visit: Bybee, Clay City, and Sharpsburg. And tell me, Amy, the counties where those communities are located.
I don't know, Reggie. I haven't been everywhere. And I'm not sure that everybody who's lived here, think about the folks in this audience who've lived here for 20 years. Have you been to all of those places? Look, the fact is that I serve my country, okay? I can't do both. I can't live here for 20 years and also be a United States Marine serving the people of Kentucky. And so I chose to do that, and I'm proud of that. And I actually believe that, you know what, I want to, and I actually take a bit of offense to what you said, Reggie, because I want to represent all 19 counties. I think that we actually need people that go and want to represent everyone, and that's one of the things that I want to do.
Time.
So,
Mr. Gray, you have a question for someone on the panel.
Yeah, mine is going to go to Reggie. And Reggie, now this is really probably kind of a softball, but I'm going to give it anyway. You can smile. You and I were both, and I think, Amy, you were over in Frankfort a couple of weeks ago, too, with the teachers. And we all know that we were there for the right reasons. My mother and my grandmother were both teachers. And we grew up in a family where education was really valued, and, of course, teachers were valued. Reggie, with what you've seen with the governor in the last few days, would you describe that condition, whatever that behavior might be? Just go ahead and describe it for us.
Jim, believe me, that question is going to take more than 2 minutes. First of all, back to the question I asked Amy. Yes, I have. I got it, Matt. Because it won't take me long to say about the governor. I can say that in very few short words, choice words. The answer to the question is, Bybee's in Madison County, Clay City's in Powell County, and Sharpsburg in Bath County. And yes, I have been to all those places on more than one occasion. Now, to your question about the governor, calling teachers bullies, saying that those teachers who want to go out and protect their livelihood are opening their children up for drug addiction, for sexual abuse. I mean, let's face it, we all recognize that we have a mini Trump right here in Kentucky. And, you know, I want to get to Congress, Jim. I have to tell you that. I want to get to Congress, and immediately I'm going to make, in 2019, in addition to my federal legislation, one of my main focuses, getting Matt Bevin out of office. I hope he hears that tonight. Matt Bevin, I want you out of office.
All right, Ms. McGrath, you have a question, and to whom?
Yes, it's to Jim. Recently, I decided to pull my ads from Sinclair Media, from the local station, because I felt like it was the right thing to do, considering that media station was forcing their local news anchors to basically read propaganda from right-wing organization. And you chose not to. Why?
What Sinclair was doing was really, really bad stuff, grievous stuff against democracy, no question about that. And yet they still represent a free press, as despicable as that behavior really represents. Now, for me, I think it's important for everyone to get the message of a campaign, because speaking through the media is essential in a free democracy. And that's the reason that we chose to continue with the Sinclair Media.
Well, I did not want the money that comes in from Democratic donors to my campaign to enrich a right-wing organization. And that is why I decided to take a stand.
I understand that. Right.
Please let him
I understand
finish.
That. But I will say that, you know, we talk about partisanship and about the hyper-partisanship of things today. And I think when we separate so clearly in such a way people this way, then that's just encouraging partisanship.
But you also have to take a stand and make a difference when you can. And that's what a leader does as well.
Well, that's your point of view, and I respect that, Amy.
All right, time. Okay, so now we're going to do a little time here for some closing statements from all three of the candidates. We will go in reverse order from the last two segments. And Ms. McGrath, you will go first.
Sure. Let me remind everybody that Congress is a federal office. And if you look at the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, most of the powers of Congress deal with federal issues and international issues. And that's the kind of experience that I bring to this race. Who is going to be the person who is a new generation of leaders? Who is going to be the one who gets in there and is a change agent, who did not grow up within a political party, who is not a pawn of their political party, who's going to do the right thing and represent the people? Who's going to be the one to be a change agent on things like money and politics when you have the vast majority of my campaign funded on small dollar donors? I'm going to be that person. I'm going to be that change agent. I'm going to be that leader, okay? And I'm going to represent all 19 counties. That's why I opened up a district office, or I want to open up a congressional office in either Richmond or Mount Sterling.
Time.
We've got to win all of the counties, and I'm the best candidate to do that.
Mr. Gray.
Performance and results, experience matters. In fact, I would say that we look at Washington today, and you can see what the absence of experience, in even a little bit of experience in government, represents. We need to get the hyper-partisanship out of politics. We need to get the big money out of politics. It's tearing our country apart. Now, I know that Lexington is on the right track, but our country isn't. My choice to run had everything to do with the responsibility of taking the experiences that I've had, both in a family business, growing it into really one of the largest construction companies in the country. But it wasn't just about growing a big company. It was about creating opportunities and jobs for people. And then in government, doing the same thing. But it's about bringing people together. It's about working together and creating solutions. Solutions that take our country forward in the right way.
Mr. Thomas.
When I was 14 years of age, my mother moved my sister and me here to Lexington because she wanted a better life for her children. She did not want to raise two teenage children in gang-ridden Chicago. She wanted a better life for them. And through my mother's value system she instilled in us and her inspiration, I graduated from Kentucky Public Schools, I graduated from Dartmouth College, and Harvard Law School. I'm running for Congress now because I want a better life for all of you. It is way past time that Congress stop serving the special interests and start serving you, putting the people first. I want to put you first by having a healthcare system that you all have access to and can afford. I want to put you first by increasing minimum wage so everybody can have a livable wage and reward hard work. I want to put you first by having an infrastructure system that brings more jobs here to Kentucky. I'm Reggie Thomas, and I'm asking for your vote on May 22nd.
Time. Okay, I want to take a second and thank all three of you for doing this. First of all, we decided to do this for the first time, and all three of you agreed, and we appreciate it. And I'd like to say for the general election to Congressman Andy Barr, we hope you will join us with one of these three this October. The invitation is open, and I'm sure you'll join us when that invitation comes out. To the folks here at Transylvania, thank you very much. And to this great crowd, why don't we give all three of these a round of applause? I will take a second to give a quick plug to Hey Kentucky, 7:30 every night. We talk about these issues quite a bit, and I'd like to send it back to Mary Jo Perino.
All right. Thank you so much, Matt. And thanks for watching Hey Kentucky's live coverage tonight on LEX 18. Of course, you can keep up to date with the May 22nd primary on LEX18.com, along with Facebook and Twitter, and of course on LEX 18 News. And as Matt said, every night at 7:30, regular editions of Hey Kentucky. You can also catch highlights of each show at HeyKentucky.com. We do want to thank everyone involved in tonight's production, especially Transylvania University. You've been such a gracious host. We thank you so much. And thank you for watching Hey Kentucky's debate for the Democratic nomination for Kentucky's 6th Congressional District. Have a great night, everyone.